This is Jennifer Hunt with Moira Trotter on the 2nd of September 2014 at her home in Elgin, Moray. Moira, would you just like to tell me a little bit about yourself?
I'm 71 years old. I've lived in Elgin most of my life, apart from a few years in Edinburgh. I'm married and I have two children and four grandchildren. I've been volunteering for 40 years, loved every minute of it. If I could wind the clock back, I'd do it all again. And I'm still volunteering and thoroughly enjoy it.
And what are your earliest memories of WRVS?
Well, my first introduction to WRVS was a neighbour came and asked if I'd like to come and join her at the hospital shop. Went along, absolutely loved it, and within a couple of weeks had a phone call to ask if I would do it permanently, and that's how it started. Just a neighbour asking me to come along.
And what did you know about WRVS before you joined?
Not a lot, I must admit. My mother had been slightly involved with them. Used to go to the hospital and did afternoon teas and dancing with some of the patients. But I had never been involved with them prior to that visit with my neighbour. So really didn't know a lot about them.
And what year did you join WRVS?
Officially 1974.
And where were you volunteering in the hospital?
Dr. Gray's hospital in Elgin was a general and psychiatric hospital, and we had a small shop, and when I say small, I mean a cupboard. Very small shop, and we were only open for very few hours at that time. Very few hours.
And can you tell me about your role as a shop assistant when you first started volunteering at the hospital?
I did an evening shift. We were open for visiting hour, I think it was 7 till 8. We were just open for an hour because obviously I had family and I was at home, and I wasn't free to volunteer during the day the same. And so I did this 1 hour once a week to begin with, and very soon it was twice a week. I did a Wednesday and a Saturday, I remember. It was always difficult getting volunteers at the weekend, but I did this hour in the shop. And you just worked on your own then. The shop had been open about 4 years, I think, when I joined it. And within a within a couple of years, I think it was, I ended up being manager of it.
And how did you feel about working in the hospital shop?
Oh, I loved it. Well, I was trained as a nurse. So it was nice to get back into the hospital. You know, because, as I say, I chose not to go out and work. And so it was nice to get back into the hospital in that capacity. And, I mean, over the years, met some wonderful people and made fantastic friends. That's what volunteering's all about, isn't it? Enjoying it. And I've loved every minute of it.
And you said before you worked on your own in the hospital shop. Were there any other volunteers who were working in the hospital shop as well?
We were open... Now, let me get this right. We were open... I think it was a couple of hours in the afternoon it started off with. And then it changed to an evening. Well, not changed. We added an hour in the evening. And then we expanded to the morning as well. And we used to be open only 5 hours a day, I think it was. Mm-hmm. But we gradually extended it.
And can you tell me about the visitors or the patients who used to visit the shop?
Well, the shop was situated between the general hospital and the psychiatric hospital. So we used to serve quite a lot of the psychiatric patients, and they would love to come down and just stand and chat, mm-hmm. a lot of them, you know, and they were very interesting. We started a paper round in the hospital. We used to go round with the newspapers. We started a trolley, and very soon realised, well, it was silly doing them separate. We put them together as a trolley with the papers. And so we went round the wards, and so the patients in the general hospital didn't really, a lot of them, come down. I don't know if it was quite encouraged as it is nowadays to get up and walk about and, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but we dealt a lot with psychiatric patients, and I mean, at that time we were allowed to sell cigarettes in the shop, and we sold a lot of cigarettes to the psychiatric hospital. And I mean, the staff would tell you it was sometimes more helpful than having medication or that, you know. But that gradually phased out, as we all know, and then we stopped that totally, yeah.
And apart from cigarettes, what else did you sell in the shop when you first started volunteering?
Just a little bit of everything, like all the other shops, I'm sure. You know, confectionery, toiletries. Mainly, I suppose, confectionery, toiletries, biscuits, boxes of chocolates and things. And I remember, as I say, we dealt with quite a few the patients, and they would come down and they would, you know, start, well, I'll have that box of sweets and I'll have that box of sweets and that, and you're thinking, this is great, this is a wonderful sale I'm going to have, you know. And at the end of it they would say, I'll come back tomorrow and pay it. So of course I said, well, I'll keep it here for you, but of course it didn't usually materialise. But yeah, we kind of stationery as well. We sold a little bit of most things, really. Yeah, most things.
And was that the same with the trolley shop?
Yes. Just as we are today, you know, biscuits, sweets, toiletries, drinks. Drinks I didn't mention. Yes, just a little bit of everything, really. And, I mean, if we didn't carry it on the trolley and somebody wanted something and you knew it was in the shop, still do that. You still nip down and get it. You know, to help them out.
And what was how would you describe the trolley that you had?
It was very basic trolley. We didn't have posh ones like we have nowadays. Just a very basic trolley. I mean, we used to have to go down to Cash and Carry and do the shopping for the stock. So there was quite a lot of humphing of boxes and things, which you wouldn't be allowed with health and safety nowadays, probably. I must admit, when central buying came in, I was very pleased. I didn't have to. I could stop that side of it, you know, because it was, especially, you know, boxes of cans and drinks and things. So, it was just a very basic trolley. Always two, of course, going round the wards. And as they still are now, they're very pleased to get their newspapers and that, you know, and it's a nice feeling when you walk out of a ward and they're sitting up reading a paper or magazine, because I always think, well, it's a bit therapeutic, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Kind of stops them maybe thinking for a wee while about problems they may have.
And what did you do with the profits from the shop?
The profits from the shop, we bought gifts for the hospital. It was luxury things at that time, like televisions, travelling rugs, hair dryers, luxury things. And then as the years rolled on, we were then allowed to buy medical equipment, and we would buy maybe those baths that you could raise up, you know, or special beds, or and that seemed more sensible if that was something that they really needed. And then again, as time went on, you know, we ended up giving them money, because basically that's what they all need nowadays, isn't it? Which was supposed to be kind of for the endowment fund, which was for the good of the patients. We hoped that was what it was for. So yes, it's evolved over the years. But yeah, to begin with, it was just luxury goods. They would tell us what they needed. We would buy it, and then we would have a get-together, and with the hospital, and volunteers would have a thank you cup of tea, and we would present the gifts.
And how did you feel about being able to present those gifts?
Oh, that's what it was all about, wasn't it? Helping your local hospital. That's what it was all about. Yeah, and I mean, the more profit we made, we were delighted to be able to give them back, you know. Definitely, yeah.
Did you get involved with any other WRVS activities during this time? Anniversary celebrations?
Anniversary celebrations? Oh, let me think back. You're thinking anniversary as of WRVS?
Mm-hmm. So maybe perhaps the 40th anniversary?
Oh yes, I've kind of been involved. That would be 1978. Gosh, now you're testing my memory. I remember going to a garden party. There was one down where the head office was. The Queen came to. We were bused down. We all went down in a bus. It was great fun. I can't remember which one that was though. Whether that was the 40th, it might have been. Might have been the 50th. That was 88. I represented Scotland, and we went to 10 Downing Street. That was very special. Be able to walk up that staircase with all the pictures there, and that was when Mrs. Thatcher was there, and Edwina Curry was there. There were some other cabinet people there. That was very special. I've been very lucky over the years. I've I went to Wimbledon one year, we used to help there, and that was great fun. Thoroughly enjoyed that. It was just like one big garden party, and it was a great experience. I was going to go the following year, and I think it was about 2 days before I was due to go. My mother took a slight stroke, so I had to cancel that. So I only went the once, but always remember that. It was a wonderful experience, it was.
Do you remember what year that was?
That would have been... Oh, gosh, no. I should have looked out all my bits and bobs. It was the mid-90s. It was the mid-90s. Can't remember the exact year. No, I can't remember the exact year. The 60th anniversary, we arranged a garden party here up in Murray for the volunteers. And one of the estate owners has a lovely big house, very kindly let us use it. And that was very special, because the ladies all came dressed in their pretty hats and things. So that was good fun. I was down at St. Paul's, was it? No, was it Westminster? You know, was it a couple of years ago? 75th.
St. Paul's.
St. Paul's, it was the 75th. Sorry, I've got to that age, the memory's not so good. As I say, I've
had a marvellous time and been to some special occasions, garden party and things.
Mm-hmm.
So met some super people.
So going back to when you, those sort of first 5 years when you started volunteering at Dr. Gray's Hospital, is there anything else you'd like to share about those first 5 years?
Well, it was mainly, as I say, it was mainly the hospital. I got involved with the emergency services. So I've always been part of that. In fact, we were out 3 weeks ago and we had the flooding up here. Mm-hmm. And there was a rest centre set up, so we were involved with that. As I say, I managed the hospital, the small shop, and then an extension was built to Dr. Gray's Hospital. And in 1996, we opened our new shop and cafe. They were separate, next to one another, but separate. And, in the hospital since I've been there, since 96 anyway, we've had the shop and the cafe. We've always had a ward trolley, and we've always had ladies who do the flowers, go around and just saves the nurses a job. And we still do that today. And we got this lovely new shop and everything. It was great, absolutely wonderful. And opened that in 96. In 1994, it would have been, I became the administrator at the office, and I did that for 6 years. That was great fun. I mean, when I started in the office, we had a telephone and a typewriter, and that was it. And, I mean, I could type. Basic, not fancy, but... I'm trying to think, it was the morning, I think I worked 9 till 1, I think it was. And that was good because I really got to know the nitty gritty more. And then we expanded the office. It was, it was a cupboard downstairs, but we had a clothing store upstairs. And it was much, much bigger. Double the size it would have been. So we moved the office up and moved the clothing store down. And that was when computers and everything started coming in, of course, and we all had to learn how to work them. So that was great fun, and we had the Meals and Wheels office there. And it was a district office, and we used to have district meetings, which were great. All the organisers would come into the office about 4 times a year. And they would give a report about what was going on in their area. And you really work together as a team, you know. And can you pause that a second for me? Yes, I got paid £1.50 an hour when I started there. Remember that? But it was great fun. It was really, it was great fun. You always had people coming in and out of the office, and as I say, you were involved with the whole district. And we had the clothing store there, which was open on a Thursday. And you always had people at the door every week. There was never a week when, you know, it wasn't. We were quite sorry when we were told we had to stop that. Because there was a need for it, although there was all the charity shops had started up then, I suppose. Anyway, so I was there in the office for 6 years, and the year 2000, that was when they introduced paid managers. So it was either a case of stepping away from the hospital or giving up the office. My first love was the hospital. Found that transition very difficult, having been a volunteer manager all those years. and to become a paid manager. That was a bit difficult to begin with. You know, you kind of felt the volunteers were there making money for your wages, and that wasn't what I joined for, but that was the way we were going, so I had to accept that situation or step aside, as I say, and I didn't want to step aside because I thoroughly enjoyed it. So that was totally different. Then I was full time there by this time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the family had grown up, and I really enjoyed that. So I did that for 6 years. Yes, a paid manager at 2000. I did it for 6 years. And then I decided to retire. But I've gone full circle. I mean, I went back to being a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people said at the time, you can't come back. But I said, well, it doesn't bother me coming back with a new manager. I still thoroughly enjoy it. So I do. So
yeah.
I still thoroughly enjoy it. I'm 5 minutes away from the hospital. And thoroughly enjoy it.
And
we used to go to meetings, of course, mm-hmm. district meetings and that. You'd go to Aberdeen or Perth. And I always remember, I mean, we used to have meetings in church halls and things, anywhere where we could get somewhere that didn't cost anything, of course. And then we started having meetings in hotels, and that felt strange because we were volunteers and we didn't spend money on hotels. But that was the way things moved on, you know. That was the way things moved on.
And going back to when you were first being sort of a volunteer shop manager, what projects were you managing in the hospital?
Well, as I said, we had the shop, we had the ward trolley, and we had the flowers. Yes, that was the three, the shop, the trolley and the flowers, yeah, yeah.
And apart from Dr. Gray's Hospital, were there any other hospitals in the area you were managing?
We were briefly involved at Spiney Hospital, but only briefly. That really didn't come to anything. So no, it was mainly Dr. Gray's. And, I mean, we used to be a small hospital, and then they added the extension. And I mean, when it was a small hospital, you knew everybody, you know, it was very homely and you knew all the doctors and nurses and matrons and what have you. And then they built this extension and it became so much bigger. And there's so many staff coming and going now, you can't keep track of everyone, you know. But I know the girls that work there thoroughly enjoy it. They thoroughly enjoy it. Volunteering is a two-way thing, I always think. You know, it's filling a need in your life and you're helping others at the same time. I'm sure lots of people say that to you, but I mean, a lot of the ladies are perhaps widowed, you know, or retired. And I think everybody needs something in life, you know, and it fills a need. It's a two-way thing, I always think. I mean, one of the strap lines, as they call them, well, when we first started, it was simply caring was one of them. And I feel that describes what we do in two words, simply caring, covers everything. And that's been changed quite a few times over the years. And I think the motto, too, was not how we can't, but how we can. And that's always how we've been. Never say no if we can help in any way, do we?
No.
If we can help at all. As I say, we had wheels on wheels, and we'll pop that up there. You manage it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, we had the hospital, so we had Meals on Wheels, we had the clothing store, We started a trolley in the Sheriff Court office. We started a... The centre?
Is it a contact centre?
Contact centre, that's the word.
And did you help in those contact centres?
I didn't physically, no. I helped to set it up with the district manager. That was when we were working in the office. We started that, and as I say, we started the Sheriff Court trolley as well. Books on Wheels we did in Murray. We did most things, really. Good Neighbour Scheme, we started one of those. And of course, there was always fundraising. When I worked in the office, I think they're starting doing that again. You were given a target to fundraise. So we had an annual coffee morning. I had an annual coffee morning until, oh gosh, it must be about 3 or 4 years ago I stopped it. I felt it was time I stopped. But we used to have annual coffee mornings fundraising. They called, well, one of them was the Mad Hatter's Tea Party we used to do. In fact, I've got my teapot over there that I got from the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. So yes, fundraising has been quite a part of my life. In fact, when I was in the office, we started a jackpot club, you know, the 100
yeah.
club. So I still do that. So we started that in 99, so we're still doing that. And it's a bit of fun, and it raises money for WRVS. So when the new project started in Dr. Gray's, we bought quite a few things for the shop to help fund it. Meals on Wheels, I would help occasionally with that. And since I retired, we used to do the holiday Meals on Wheels. Our meals are cooked in Elgin, and we used to take them out to the outlying areas where we'd meet up with the volunteers in the school playground and pass over the meals. So my husband and I do that. My husband's a volunteer as well. That's where he is at the moment, actually. He's volunteered for 20 years, and he does the newspapers every morning. Well, I say 6 mornings. He gets a day off on Sunday, but 6 mornings he's along at the hospital, and he sorts out the papers, magazines and things. And so, yes, it's teamwork.
And can you remember when you started volunteering for Meals on Wheels?
I never was a regular in Meals on Wheels. I would just step in if I was needed, sometimes, you know, at short notice. I did it more since I retired, as I say, covering the holidays. So I retired in 2006. But as I say, prior to that, the other one was social transport. Mm-hmm. I used to do quite a bit of that. I used to do social transport, and I was part of the car service through the ambulance service. That was before I became full-time. But yes, social transport, taking people into appointments and things. And again, that's a lot of cutbacks. There used to be therapy sessions that people could come into, and I, you know, you got to know people really well. You would take them in twice a week, the same people into the therapy, and it was good. So I don't know, I suppose I've kind of dipped my toe in most things one way or another.
And when you were an office administrator, were there any changes to WRVS at that time?
Oh, changes. There's always changes, isn't there? Yeah. To the structure of WRVS? Oh, now you are testing my memory. Well, there was always great discussions about dropping the W. Always great discussions about that. Although the men always said it didn't bother them a whit. And I mean, we had some chaps used to volunteer at the hospital as well. I used to tell them it was an M upside down anyway, but it never bothered them. But anyway, we kept it until very recently when it has been dropped. But it doesn't trip off the tongue like WRVS does. It always will be WRVS, as far as I'm concerned. But then, yes, I'll tell you, the greatest change was that the government funding stopped. That's the biggest change. You possibly know all about it, but it was gradually reduced. I think it was over a 10-year period. Each year it was cut. I mean, they didn't just cut the cord. They gave us time to adjust, and we had to adjust greatly. It was a case of sink or swim, and fortunately we're still swimming. But yes, that was the biggest change everywhere, and that was when we dropped quite a few of the projects. And I could see the point. I mean, there was other charities doing things that we were doing, so there was no point in us all doing it. Like the clothing store stopped, and I can't remember specifically, but as I say, other charities were doing some of the things we were doing. So yes, we really cut down on a lot of the projects that we were doing, which wasn't easy at the time. Nobody likes change, so it wasn't easy at the time. But yes, and that was when fundraising started, because that was one of the beauties of WRVS. You didn't have to go out in the high street and rattle cans or have coffee mornings or that. You could just get on and do volunteer, you know. But then, as I say, all that changed, and you had to, and you were given targets to raise. And so, yes, I would say that was the biggest change while I was there, was the funding cutting down, and we all had to cut back. And eventually our district office closed, as a lot of them did, and the district organiser was no more. So yes, I would say that was the biggest change while I was at the office.
And how did you feel about those changes?
Well, it was a difficult period, but you could understand it, because, I mean, everywhere there was cutbacks. And the government had to cut back somewhere, I suppose. And I suppose most charities were, I think, were we possibly maybe the only one, I may be wrong, that was government funded. Because it went right back to the very beginning when the Home Office asked to set up WRVS. They funded it. And it just went on year after year. And I don't think anybody particularly asked. The money appeared, which, as they say, all good things come to an end, don't they? So, as I say, other charities were all self-sufficient, so we had to become self-sufficient. So that was when we started getting chief executives and paid people, which we found difficult because we had all been volunteers, and suddenly these people were coming in and, getting these large wages. Just like when I became a paid manager, I found that difficult, having been a volunteer manager up till then, you know. But yeah, I suppose money, just as it is nowadays, it's, isn't it? It's at the bottom of everything or the top of everything. So, that would be the biggest change. And people, you know, as I say, we did, suddenly all these people were getting paid when previously nobody had been paid. So I suppose that was the biggest thing, really, you know.
Can you tell me about the other members of WRVS who you work with in the district office?
Well, there was the district manager, area manager they became, I think. And then we were linked with Aberdeen and... No, that's right. Jill was the district manager. The area manager was Aberdeen. So we used to go through to Aberdeen for meetings. She would sometimes come up to us. So we were kind of linked in Grampian. Then we got a Meals on Wheels organiser. And this was when we started having contracts. That was another change. We started having contracts. So this was our way of paying for the Meals on Wheels. So we had a contract with Moray District Council, and that allowed us to bring in a Meals on Wheels organiser. And we still have that. I think we're about the last in Scotland. So we still do Meals on Wheels here. Fortunately, Moray Council are still very happy for us to do it, which is good. So, as I say, there would be three of us in the office, and then the two girls always came in on a Thursday and did the clothing store. And our office was actually converted by community service people. Again, we did everything for nothing, as it were. We basically paid for the equipment, but they did the changes, and they were excellent. They were. I mean, we never had money, so everything we got was begged and borrowed. And if somebody was throwing out something, throw it in our direction. Or, you know, you heard somebody was upgrading an office, well, can we have the desk? You know, and we didn't have money, so, you know, that was how we did it. And we kitted out the office and second-hand things. So, yeah, there was the three of us there. The Meals on Wheels, of course, were just Monday, Wednesday, Friday. But, yeah, that was the three of us. I mean, to begin with, when I started, I was in the office on my own. I was just the secretary, and you just answered the phone, did the messages and sorted things out. And then, as I say, when we got the bigger office, the district organiser came in regularly. And we had great fun. It's great fun.
And were there any other changes you experienced between
1994 and 2000? 1994 and 2000. Well, as I say, it was 1996 when they introduced paid manager at the hospital, so that was the biggest change for me. And we had I can't remember what their official titles were, but we had somebody in from, oh, isn't that awful, I can't think of their name, but somebody who was above me anyway, and he would come round. I had one or two. The one I remember was Stephen Rennie. Would come round, and he would have meetings, and it would be all the Aberdeen projects and ourselves, and we'd all get together and have meetings. And that was great meeting up. That was new because, as I say, this level of management came in, and if you had any problems, you went to Stephen, and Stephen would sort it out, and he was great. He always came back with an answer very quickly. And if he couldn't do it, he there and then he would find out for you. He was excellent. And then there was another two tiers, I think, above him as well. But yes, more hands-on, I suppose, from head office. Previously, I mean, before 96, you were totally left to your own devices. which was nice. I mean, you would put in your reports, and but you really were just left to get on with it. And I mean, the hospital didn't bother us either. We were just left to get on with it. So I suppose we must have maybe been doing it right. We were happy with what we did. And so, yes, I suppose more management and more meetings and things, which I hadn't had before. But then all the laws and everything had to be brought in, and you had to have health and safety training and, trainings, lots of trainings. That was another new thing, which we'd never had before. And as I say, going to meetings and things, which, as I say, you had just been left locally to kind of get on with it, you know. And, yeah, that would be another big change, was all the introduction of more tiers. And that changed as well. They came and they went, and they changed the tiers and what have you, you know, and the management. And I think it's kind of gone full circle. It keeps going round and round, as most things in the world do, don't they? Yeah.
And then you became a paid hospital manager. What did that role involve?
It involved more regular hours. As a volunteer manager, I went and did it when I wanted to do it. As a paid one, you had set hours. But it was always a well-known fact. You were paid for 35 hours and you worked 70. You know, you don't get that nowadays, I'm afraid. But you were expected to do more than what you were paid for, but it was just part of it. And you were happy to do it. But as I say, previously you did it when you wanted to do it, whereas this was more, well, it was a paid job, so you had hours to cover to be there. But you had volunteer assistants in that. I mean, when I went on holiday, I had three girls, and they were absolutely marvellous, and they enjoyed doing it. And they would take care of it while I was on holiday, you know. And they always look back on that and say they had great fun doing that. But, I mean, I was just the paid manager, and, I mean, nowadays, along there, we've got paid manager, paid assistant, and another, and there's three paid staff running it. So, yeah, quite a change. But it was just all volunteers before.
And why did you decide to take on a paid role?
Because I loved working at the hospital. I just loved working at the hospital, and I loved the project. I don't know whether I was a nurse. Because I was a nurse, I don't know. But I just loved working in the hospital, and I just loved what I did. As I think I said before, if I could wind the clock back, I'd do it all again. I just loved it. But I did feel uncomfortable at first, thinking the volunteers were standing there making money, which I was getting paid for, you know. Anyway.
Were there any other reasons why you felt uncomfortable about being...
Oh, not at all. No, none at all. No, none at all. No, it was just me. Just me. And I've always lived quite near the hospital, so I've been very... You know, can walk there in 5 minutes kind of thing. But no, I just love working in the hospital.
And did you work in the hospital itself?
What do you mean, as a nurse?
No, as the paid manager, did you work in the hospital during the week, or did you work from home?
Oh no, in the hospital. Oh yes, yeah, I had an office. Yes, from... What am I saying? 96. From 2000, that's right, when it became a paid manager. I got an office in the hospital, which I was lucky to get, because space is at a premium in hospitals. But I had an office there, so that was great. So, yeah. I worked there. Mm-hmm. I mean, previously it was a volunteer. Your dining room was your office, and because we didn't have an office up till then, so that was another great change. Was you could get your dining room back, get all the paperwork and into the office. You know, because previously you had to work from home. Yeah.
And how would you describe your office?
Well, I was lucky. I got quite a nice office. They were going to stick me in a cupboard that didn't even have a window, and somebody said, no way, no way. So, yes, I had quite a nice office. One wall was all glass, so you froze in the winter and you were too hot in the summer. I had a nice office. It was, and it was quite near the project, which was good. So you were accessible for the volunteers, you know.
Were the services any different in the hospital from when you first started?
No, nothing changed because I became a paid manager. No, it just continued as per usual. No, nothing changed.
And was the shop different? Because you said it started when you started. It was a really just a small.
It was a cupboard to begin with just a sliding shutter that we had, and you know, just a counter shutter. And then we did get a slight extension to that for our storeroom. And we used to stock, when I first started, we used to stock take once a month. You counted every penny dainty and everything. And then it gradually was 3 months and then became an annual stock take. And then, of course, we brought in professional stock takers when we moved on in the 90s. These guys would come in and stock take for you. I don't know how MD can spend their life stock taking. But anyway, so when they built the new extension to the hospital, we moved out into a porter cabin for a wee while. That wasn't fun, but it was shut the project or do that, and we never shut the project. We shut the project for one afternoon. I remember that because they were drilling and you couldn't hear the customers. But they wanted to shut us down while they were doing this, but we said no and we kept working through it. And then, as I say, we went into Porter Cabin for a while and then we got this lovely new shop and oh, it was beautiful. It's about as big as this room. Beautiful shop, really was. It was lovely. And we had a separate cafe. Now, that was a challenge because I'd never run a cafe before. But, as I say, with the help of WRVS and all the training and that, and I had a volunteer who took on... I used to get volunteers to take on the rota, which helped me greatly, because it obviously was a huge amount of work. So, yes, between myself and the volunteers, as we say, it's teamwork. We managed, and we enjoyed having the cafe. And then they wanted to change everything again, and that would have been 2006, so must have been round about then. They wanted to move us out and move us somewhere else, and they were going to move us here, there, and it kept changing. And they closed us down. They closed the cafe first, but we set up in the foyer with a mobile coffee machine, so they could still at least get hot drinks, and the shop was still open. And then eventually they decided on where we were going to go. And I wanted to stay on until I saw the new project up and running. But it just didn't seem to be coming. It just didn't seem to be coming. And I had a new granddaughter in 2007. And so I retired, and it was the right time to go because I had a lovely time helping to bring up Ellie, which was lovely. So I didn't see the transition into this new one, but the one we have now is a shop and cafe together, which is lovely.
And you still volunteer there?
I still volunteer there, yes. I still do the shop. I do the shop, I do the cafe, and I do the ward trolley. I mean, I was in the cafe yesterday, I'm in on Thursday, I'm in on Friday, I'm in doing the trolley on Sunday. So yeah, I do quite a bit. But I still love it, as I say, still love it.
And when you were a paid hospital manager in 2004, WRVS changed its colours. What did you think about that?
I wasn't paid until 96. Well, again, you see, we're the old school, and it wasn't so much the change as the expense. We had been used to scrimping and scraping and trying to make ends meet, and there was nothing wrong with the tabards that we had. I think the first ones were Bryan Island, which, looking back now, wasn't fantastic. And they had pockets, and pockets were not allowed for health and safety. I mean, it's like a lot of things, it's kind of splitting hairs. You can't have your hanky there, but you've got up your sleeve anyway, so, you know, kind of thing. But anyway, no, I would say it was the cost we were always thinking of as volunteers, because they changed the colours, so it was new uniforms, it was new signs, it was new stationery, you know, and we were always very, very aware of the cost. But as I say, we're the old school. And I mean, since then, we've had another 2-3 changes, I think. And this latest one, we still haven't got the uniforms yet. I mean, we were asked what our opinions, and it must be 2 years ago, would it be?
You must have been asked 2 years ago, because it was last year when we changed the name.
But we still have the purple ones, we're still wearing those, and we still haven't had all our signs changed, so I don't know what's happening, but anyway. No, I would say the changes, it was mainly the cost that we objected to, and thought it was, you know. But as I say, we're the old school.
And is there anything else you'd like to share about your time as a hospital manager between 2000 and 2006?
Oh. Well, just at the risk of repeating myself, I thoroughly enjoyed, I suppose it was a more strict routine, because as I say, I was paid and I had to be there certain hours, and I enjoyed going to the meetings and meeting up with the other girls, you know, and sharing thoughts and ideas and that. I thoroughly enjoyed that. So yeah, I mean, it was more structured, I suppose, than when you were a volunteer manager, because, as I say, you did it when you had the time to do it, you know. But, no, I just enjoyed what I did, and, as I say, enjoyed meeting all these other people, and, as I said before, it was sink or swim, and, you know, we had to get financially on a financial footing where we could keep going, otherwise we'd had it, you know. I don't really know, quite honestly, how we're doing nowadays, because we never really hear. I can't, you can maybe tell me. I mean, do they produce accounts? Do they put it into action?
I think they do a report, I think they do an annual report for the accounts, but I haven't seen.
Which you can probably see online or something nowadays.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm not totally sure on that.
But as a volunteer, I must admit, I don't really know how RVS are overall, you know. I mean, that was another thing we used to do when I was there, was you would put up in the project what you took each week, so the girls knew exactly how much money they were making. And, you know, they used to love saying, oh, I did 30 last week, but I've taken 40 this week, kind of thing, you know. And they would count their takings at the end of their shift. And they used to enjoy doing that and knowing exactly what we're doing. And I used to put up, as I say, a weekly report of how much we took, and then the annual turnover. So I felt it was important, because the volunteers were the ones standing there making the money, that they should know what we're doing exactly, you know. Nowadays, we don't know. We don't know what we're making. Are we, you know, are we doing well as an organisation? Or so, yeah, I wouldn't mind more information on that, yeah.
And are those profits still going to the hospitals?
I think I'd have to pass on that one. As I say, I'm not really au fait with how it works nowadays. As I say, as we moved on over the years, we don't do any gifting anymore. We don't seem to have any presentations now as we used to, handing over cheques or money to the hospital. Well, we haven't up here for, I don't know, years since we did anything like that. I really don't know, quite frankly, Jennifer. I really don't know what they're up to nowadays. But, yeah, we used to have annual gifting. And the hospitals would tell us what they needed and we would buy it. And then, as I say, latterly, it was the cash that we used to hand over. But we used to have annual get-togethers and matron or whatever, chief executive or whatever of the hospital would come along and tell us what's going on in the hospital. So you really felt involved with the entire hospital, not just what we were doing, you know. They would update us on what was going on, and yeah, you felt more involved with the entire hospital, you know. But things have moved on, as I say.
And you also mentioned earlier that you've been involved with emergency services.
Mm-hmm.
When did you first get involved?
Oh, way back when I first started. Yes, way back when I first started, I would say. Probably late 70s, probably. The district organiser, when I joined, first of all, we didn't have an office then. And no, that's maybe wrong. Maybe we did. Anyway, I remember she had a lovely big house out of town, and she used to take us all out there for afternoon tea once a year, just as a thank you and to update us what was going on. And I remember when I first went there and saying how very nice it is to have a young volunteer with them. I don't see that anymore, I'm afraid. But yes, I remember that. It was very grand. She was a lovely lady. But yes, I would have been involved from that right at the beginning. I remember something, was it something in five? You used to make up bundles of clothing. You used to tie up bundles so that when anybody needed clothing, you just gave them an entire bundle, and it kind of had everything in it that you basically needed, you know. I remember that. We used to have that. Emergencies, but it's one of these things you do and you hope you never need to use, isn't it? But and I mean, with so many things, you know, fine, WRVS are there, but you never hear about it, do you really? That was one of the other things. We used to be called the Silent Army. Yeah, Silent Army. And it's amazing, I mean, over all these years, I mean, they used to say that, and they probably still say it. You know, if you ask people to name charities, they come out with the Red Cross or Children First or whatever. But WRVS are never there, and yet we've been on the go since 1938, you know? Seems incredible.
And why did you decide to join emergency services?
Well, again, just to help, wasn't it? Just to help. I mean, if anybody needed help. Yeah, just to help where it was needed.
And can you tell me about any emergencies you attended over the years?
Well, up here, I mean, it really has been flooding. It has been flooding, really, has been our greatest emergencies. I would say that's really the only ones that I've been involved in. Thankfully, we haven't had really anything else. We'd occasionally have dummy runs because we've got the RAF stations. Well, we used to have two, we now got one. But we used to have dry runs, as it were. But the real thing was flooding. The real thing was flooding.
Can you tell me what happened when you got called out to a flood?
Well, WRVS used to run the rest centres. They used to be in charge of the rest centres. So they used to have to organise everybody and do all the paperwork, everything. But this last one that I went to, we served the tea. Everything else was done by social work and was organised. So it was much easier, I would say. But yeah, we used to organise the rest centres and be in charge of them. I was never in charge of them, but we had organisers that did that, you know. But no, it's changed greatly, but it's nice that we can still help.
And how did you feel when you were at the rest centres?
Oh, just pleased to be able to help. I mean, this time the rest centre was only open for about 9 hours, I think, and the people thankfully were able to get back to their own homes. But previously, we've had it open for days with the flooding, you know, and used to have to organise meals and everything for them. And I mean, the supermarkets used to be great; they would send along supplies and everything for us, you know. Just everybody rallies round on those occasions, don't they? But now, as I say, they get the school kitchen staff to come in and they cook the meals, and we're just there to help where we can help.
Did you have any training for emergency services?
Oh, yes, yes.
What
long
did
time you... since I've had any, though. Long time since I've had any.
What did your training involve?
Well, how to do the paperwork and things, just how to do all the things that we needed to do, and just being able to talk to people and just try and be of some comfort, you know. Because I think people just need to talk on those occasions, you know. So, no, just covering all the aspects we used to do, but as I say, it's changed greatly now.
You mentioned before that you did dummy runs on the RAF.
Yes, I think I only did about one of that, I think.
And what
that was a long time ago.
What did that involve?
Oh, I was only on the periphery then. I wasn't... I really couldn't speak with any authority on that because I really wasn't involved in much of that. No, I couldn't really tell you much about that. But, you know, obviously the police and the fire and everybody's involved in a major incident like that, you know. But, I mean, we've got flood reliefs going on, still going on at the moment, so hopefully our flooding will be a thing of the past. But even with that, it still happened, but it's not finished yet, but they're getting there. But no, we haven't had any training for a wee while. But as I say, WRVS are obviously very much on the sidelines now. But a cup of tea goes a long way sometimes, doesn't it? Yeah, and a friendly voice.
And also, you've been on the Vice Chairman's Committee.
Yeah, that was very interesting. Again, met some lovely girls on there. I was only on for a short time because it was disbanded. But yes, it was interesting, more on the policy side of things and that, you know, and making decisions. So, yeah, I was very flattered to be asked to go on to that. And I'm pleased that I did. As I say, it was a very short time. It was only a couple of years, I think. But no, I enjoyed that and meeting the others.
Do you remember what year you joined?
Oh dear, I should have had all my paperwork out. I couldn't tell you offhand. Sorry, Jennifer.
It's okay. Was it around 2000?
It would have been in the 2000s, yes. It would have been.
And how did you become involved with the Vice Chairman's Committee?
I was asked. They approached me and asked if I would join it. And I didn't think I could do that, but I'm glad I did. Glad I did. It's interesting to see the, you know, the other side. And I'm trying to think, we all met up in London for some celebration. What would that have been? I know we all met up for a celebration. That had been the 70th. Oh, I'm sorry, Jennifer.
It's okay.
My memory is terrible. But yes, it's I've had, as I say, I've had great fun doing it, and hopefully we'll do it for many more years. You probably know I was fortunate to be awarded the MBE a few years ago, and well, that just takes your breath away.
Can you tell me what happened when you were awarded your MBE?
I went to receive it in Buckingham Palace, and that was very special day because my son and daughter, husband, were with me, and I've got family down in London, and we all met up afterwards. So that was a special day, very special. And it was Prince Charles, and he was charming, absolutely charming. Yeah, been very lucky.
And the MBE was for all your WRVS work.
It said services to the community was how it was worded. I've been involved in guiding all my life and church and other things, so it just said services to the community, so I suppose it kind of involves everything, I suppose, really. But
when you first heard that you were getting an MBE, did you have to keep it a secret?
Yes. Yes, as I said to the guy in the papers, I didn't really believe it until I saw it in print in the paper. Yes, I think as everybody says when they get that these awards, it's very difficult trying to keep it secret. But yeah, just this letter out of the blue, it was terrific, it really was.
And how did you feel when you found out you were going to receive an MBE?
Well, everything you've done is teamwork. You know, you feel it's for everybody in your team rather than just for you, you know. Because the volunteers have been marvellous. They have been marvellous. Same in guiding as well. You know, super. Absolutely super. And it's amazing how many people previously, you know, they just thought you got paid for all these things. It's like in guiding as well. Like, you know, they say to the guiders, how much do you get paid for that? You know, they think everything's down to money, you know. But, no, you just give of your time, isn't it?
We talked a little bit about fundraising. You mentioned fundraising before. When did you first start fundraising for WRBS?
Well, it would have been when we were first told that the government grant was being cut. Yes, definitely. That was when we first started. So you'll know when that was. And as I say, as a district office, we were given a target to raise not just in Elgin, but Murray WRVS. So we used to hold coffee morning in Forrest and Elgin. And do various other things. And then, as I say, in 1999, I think it was WRVS that first suggested the Jackpot Club, because they used to have a national one themselves for a short time. It didn't seem to go on very long. And they encouraged us to do these things locally. So we started that, and we've built it up over the years. We've got about 300 members. And they're very loyal. They're very loyal. And I'm a great believer in sharing. I don't approve of these millions of given lotteries. I think they could share it around and give so many more people some happiness. Although money doesn't always bring happiness. But anyway, so we don't give a big prize. We do 6 prizes every month. The biggest one is £50, and then there's 3 20s and a cup, 2 15s or something like that. I believe in sharing it, because I think, well, even if they just, it's £12, it's £1 a month they pay. Even if they just get their £12 back, you know. But it's strange how the same numbers keep coming out, you know, and there's others never come out, and we mix them all up. And I would like to share it around with everybody, but as I say, and we do this draw every month. And but as I say, we give 6 prizes so that everybody gets, well, we try and share it as much as possible. But as I say, they're very loyal. They are. They're very good. They're very loyal. I have a guy, a volunteer, Charles, who helps me with that. I do the paperwork and the secretary and the treasurer a bit, and he does the administrator bit and keeps me right. So just been 2 chaps over the years. I had Jim first and then Charles. So but I just do that from home, and keeps the brain ticking over, gives you something to do.
Are there any other ways you raise money for WRBS?
Well, I used to have an annual coffee morning, as I say, and then I decided it was time for me to stop doing that. As I say, it started off with the Mad Hatter's Tea Party, and then they changed it to something else. And have they got an annual one now? Can't remember.
They've got the Great British Brew Break.
That's right. That's right. Yes. So the girls, they're resurrecting the coffee morning. We're having one actually in a couple of weeks' time, so they are starting it again. And yes, I mean, we used to raise money and it all just went centrally, because but then we were allowed to keep it and use it locally. So what we make, I think we get to use locally for anything that's needed.
Are there any other ways that the funds that you raise are used?
No, it's just to help the local projects, and you know, that's we might still send something centrally, but basically the projects know if there's anything that they need. I mean, we have a lunch club out at Fockabers, and we bought them some new pans and crockery and things. The Darby and Joan needed some help with paying their rent, so we helped them with that. As I say, we bought a lot of equipment for Dr. Grace when they were setting up the new project there, so we're there as a backup. Mm.
Do you have any more memories or stories about fundraising? WRBS?
Any memories from
fundraising?
From fundraising.
WRBS.
I remember we were holding a coffee morning, and gosh, that'll be cold now. Mine is. We were having it in the town hall, and the day before, the rain started, and the rain started, and the electrics went in the town hall, and it was all flooded down there. And it was the day before the coffee morning. So I got in touch with our church, and they very kindly, there was nothing on in the hall, and we moved it to our church. And everybody said they enjoyed it far more up in our church. It was kind of more central than where the town hall is. So we had it in the church hall after that. And but that was a panic. It was the day before. What are we going to do? But yeah, it all worked out fine in the end. Yeah.
And so, thinking about the more recent years we've been with WRVS, now Royal Voluntary Service, do you have much contact with your local hub?
Not a huge amount, but I know they're there if I need them, and I know I can pop in and see them if I need to. They're there if we need them. This year they've brought out a newsletter, and I thought that was very well produced, and yeah, it was good, so I hope they'll continue that, because it does keep everybody informed. I mean, we used to have over 500 volunteers in Murray, but now that's dropped greatly, because we don't do as many Meals on Wheels, and then, as I say, they pared down the various projects we were doing, so we have a lot less now, but at one point we had over 500, yeah.
And what do you think about the changes that were made to the organisation in May 2013?
Do you basically mean dropping the W?
Yes.
Yes. I don't think it was necessary, really, because if you ask any of the men, I mean, that was, well, as far as I know, that was the main reason, because we now have thousands of men volunteering with us. I was quite happy when they stopped using Women Draw a Voluntary Service and we just became WRVS. But as I say, any of the men we ever spoke to said it didn't bother them a whit that it was WRVS, not really. So I don't know that it was totally necessary. And the new generation will come up, of course they will, knowing the RVS. We had to keep the Royal, of course, because it's legally, it'd be very difficult. So I suppose they've done the best they can with RVS, Royal Voluntary Service, but the new generation will get used to it. The old generation will still be WRVS.
What has been the biggest change you've experienced over the last 40 years?
The biggest change was the financial change, because everything was voluntary until the 90s, and then that was the biggest change. Yeah. What we do is the same as we've always done, simply caring, volunteering, giving of your time. That hasn't changed. That'll never change, I suppose. So the basics of what we do hasn't changed. But as I say, we had to change or we wouldn't be here today.
Why do you say that that is the biggest change?
Because as I say, basically what we do hasn't changed. We volunteer, we give of our time. That hasn't changed since we started, has it really? So to me, the biggest change is the financial side, and but I mean, by law, we had to produce accounts, which we had never done before. We had to produce accounts and be accountable for the monies. This was the law. I mean, with so many of the changes, you could tell the volunteers, it wasn't WRVS. We were forced into it because it was the law, you know. We got blamed for a lot of things. Changes, always changes. But we were just abiding by the law, and we had to change, as I say, or we couldn't continue. This health and safety and food hygiene and all the rest of it and that. But we had to. We had no option. So, but no, as I say, the biggest change definitely was the finances. But but as I say, what we do hasn't changed.
Where do you think Royal Voluntary Service's place in society is today?
Well, as I say, it's strange. After all these years, people still... We're not at the tip of people's tongue at all. We're still not, after all these years. But having worked in the hospital as a volunteer for 40 years, they are so grateful that we're there. Very grateful that we're there. Coming round the wards, talking to them. It's not just the money, you know, it's having just time to talk. And and listen as well. And I mean, it's lovely because people come down from the wards, and it's nice to sometimes get away from the ward for a wee while and come down with your relatives and have a cup of tea. And it's all part of the healing process. And I know the people are very grateful that we're there in the hospital. I mean, there's always been talk and rumours that, you know, Tesco was going to come in and all the big boys, but we're still there, and I hope we'll be there for a long time to come. Because I think, I don't know, as volunteers, you give something extra. I think you're there because you want to be there. Whether it's different if you're paid or not, I don't know, but you've got time to listen and help. And it's ever changing, of course, because 3 hours and the next volunteers are on, and that, you know. No, I think they're very glad we're there, and as I say, I hope we will be for many more years.
And what do you think is the future for Royal Voluntary Service?
Well, as I say, I hope we'll continue doing what we do, helping others, and I think sometimes there's more need nowadays. We almost seem to be slightly going backwards in some ways, because people are struggling, you know, and you hear about those food banks. Not that we're involved in that, but I think there'll always be a need for volunteers. Everything's not about money, and as I say, I think it's a two-way thing. You're helping others, but you're helping yourself as well, because you don't do it for that, but you come away feeling good because you've helped, you've done something, you know. And and I think that's a nice feeling. That's a nice feeling. And to train the young ones coming in, as I say, we've got always had one or two youngsters who maybe planning on being doctors or nurses or something in the medical profession. And we've had a few doctors come through the hospital, and it's nice to see they're now doctors. And I think it's good to hear that they're encouraging the young to come in and volunteer. There's nothing finer than helping people. There really isn't. There's nothing greater than to be able to help each other. So I hope that will always be the case.
What is your most memorable moment of your time with WRVS?
Oh, Jennifer, that's a difficult one. Most memorable. Oh, I don't think I could pick one. As I say, I've been very fortunate. I went to the Cenotaph one year. That was very special, being there.
Why was it special being at the Cenotaph?
Oh, it's just such a special day, isn't it? Remembering all those that have been before you. And we lost WRVS people in the war years too. As I say, I've been at 10 Downing Street. Very proud moment to get my MBE, but just helping in your local community. I really couldn't pick one. I really couldn't pick one. I've been very fortunate. No, there isn't particularly one special moment, not really.
Is there anything else we didn't talk about that you'd like to add?
Gosh, I think we've covered most things. I don't think so, Jennifer. I think we've covered most things.
Okay. Well, thank you, Moira, for talking to me today. And this will make a really good contribution to our Voices of Volunteering project.